disclaimer. I did not piggyback off Chris Kane's message, okay, this past Sunday. This is a message the Lord placed on my heart about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But it's kind of crazy how God works like that. Me and my wife, we see that all the time. He'll lay something one minister's heart, the other minister will finish it up, or vice versa, or whatever's going on. And it's kind of cool how God does that. But, you know, he placed this on my heart about 3 or 4 weeks ago when Chris asked me to fill in for him. I just thought it was kind of cool how Chris was on the same page as I was. Pretty much on the same page. I'm going a little bit different direction than he did Sunday, but that's all right. All right. If you would, stand for the reading for the Word of God. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 18. Then I'm going to go with 20. 18:20. And it reads like this. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Father God, I just thank you for this time to sow what you placed on my heart. Father God, I pray that you continue to give us a deeper revelation of what you desire in our lives, Father God, when it comes to you. And I thank you for this opportunity, Father God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Thank you for this congregation. And we thank you, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Other translations read like this, and I'm going to read them. The New Living Translation reads this. It's kind of emphasized where I'm going. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, how much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people were completely silent. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when God is convicting people, they get all quiet? That's how I be messing with the youth. When they get all quiet, when God has placed something on my heart and I'm teaching or preaching to them, I always say, oh, y'all got quiet. I always tell them, say, y'all got quiet in this place. God is messing with you, and that's a good thing. Another version of that same verse reads this. In 1 Kings 18:20-21, the New American Standard Bible reads this. Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not. That's one of my favorite versions of that text. That's because I read the New American Standard Version. It's the version I read for myself. That along with the King James. How many of y'all know that version of the Bible is more literal than the King James? How many of y'all know that? Not a lot of people know that. That the New American Standard Bible is more literal than the King James Version. Anyway, it's one of my favorite versions of the Bible. The title of this message is this. If God be God. I'm going to repeat it again. If God be God. One more time. If God be God. Put a question mark behind that. Because at the end of this message, I want you to answer that question what God is telling you. Amen. First thing I want to say, you know, if God be God, shouldn't we be following him? Amen. We should be following God. Do we really want to follow God? Or do we pretend? Or we put on a front? Or we just put on our Christian cloak and whatever on Sundays and say the Christian lingo and all that stuff. But do we truly want to follow God? I mean, all the stuff going on in the world and on the news, we're on the verge of World War III. I think as believers, it's time to tighten them boots up. Follow God. And as you follow God, bring people into his kingdom. Point people to the cross. Amen. The word follow me is mentioned 180 times in the New King James Version Bible. One of the first things that Jesus said to his disciples is this. In Matthew chapter 4 verses 19, he said this. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Following God. Following what he desires for you. What he wants for you. I got another point I'm going to kind of push. Do you know following God is going to cost you something? How many of y'all know that? It's going to cost you something. Jesus said this in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. How many of us struggle with that? Everybody better raise their hand because we all do. I may have a pastor in front of my name, but every day I struggle with that. Every day you got to get up and tell the flesh, no, no, no. That's what Jesus is talking about, picking up that cross, embracing that cross every day and saying no, no, no. And any minister that say they don't, oh, you heard me say it before, they're lying. Amen. In Matthew 18, verse 38, Jesus said this, and he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. When you pick up your cross, this is what you're signing up for. You're signing up the struggle. You're signing up for tribulation. You're signing up for tests and trials. You're signing up to just endure sometimes. One of the first scriptures God had me learn when I was a baby Christian is John 16:33. What did he say? These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but to be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And God was telling me, Anthony, I've overcome the world. You're in me, and I'm in you. You're an overcomer also. But you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation. Struggle. Think about it. If you don't got no test, how can you have a testimony? Amen. Trials. What did James say? James said in 1:2, count it all joy when you fall in various trials. Sometimes as believers, when things are going on, we want to run away. But God might be trying to do something with you. Amen. Man, 2019 was one of the craziest years of my walk with Christ. Me and my wife, from about October of 2018, was attacked. You could ask my mother-in-law. She can vouch for that. Toughest time. Me and this woman went through a lot. But due to the midst of all that, God increased my faith. He increased my faith because there was times I couldn't do nothing but to hold on Jesus. To hold on to Jesus. I'm not going to sit there and pull your leg. My faith did waver, I told my wife. But the Lord said, remember when Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 and 14 said, Anthony, and I'm going to read it. But this is what came to me when my faith was struggling. And I'm reading out in Good News Translation. I do not claim that I've already succeeded or have already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has already won for me to himself. Of course, my friends, I really do not think that I have already won it. The one thing I do, however, is to forget what is ahead. So I run straight towards the goal in order to win that prize, which God's calling through Jesus Christ to the life above. The Lord would tell me, keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. And I'm not going to sit here and lie. There are some days I didn't want to. You can ask my wife. But the Lord would tell me, he'd say, Anthony, get up. Get up. Your wife needs to be encouraged. You need to pray with her. Get up. You need to go pray with your daughter. Show her my promises and your word. Get up. Go lay hands on your grandchildren. Show them who I am. Tell them who I am. Tell them about Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Get up, Anthony. You got a message on your heart for the youth that I gave you 3 weeks ago. Some of them kids didn't deliver. Get up, Anthony. And I'd be like, Lord, I don't got this strength. And the Lord said, that's okay. You got my strength, Anthony. It was tough. It's tough. And like I said, it didn't do anything but draw me closer to him. It held on to him. It's kind of like when Jacob's struggling with God. He said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And that's the way this past year has been for me, my family, and my wife. And it ain't just been personal ministry, too. There's times, man, it's like, Lord, I don't know why you got me hanging with the youth or whatever. And the Lord said, because I need you to teach them. Who else is going to do it? I'm like, okay. And he'll remind me. He said, didn't 11 years ago you tell me that no matter what, you was going to serve me? I said, yeah. Come on, get up. And it was tough. One of the toughest walks of my life with Christ ever. But I praise his holy name because he's sustaining me. I praise his holy name because he's sustaining my family. I praise his holy name because I've seen his goodness and mercy through all the midst of the chaos. I've seen it. I've seen God's mighty hand upon situations that I never think that were going to turn around. All the while, he's still telling me to hold on. I got this. Sometimes God allows things to stretch our faith out, to increase our faith, but stretch it out. And he stretched mine. Amen. But if God be God, let us follow him. Amen. Another one I'm going to have for you. If God be God, let us honor him. I'm going to read from Isaiah 29:13. It says this. Therefore, the Lord said, insomuch as these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me and their fear towards me is taught by the commandments of men. Can I ask you a question, believers? I got some real believers in here. Come on, raise your hand. Can we get back to honoring God? Can we just get back to honoring God? I am in before I knew Christ. Some of the stuff was cliche growing up, but me and my boys, we walked by a church. Hey, man, we can't cuss on church ground. It was cliche. Some of it was dumb. But there was a deep reverence. There was a deep reverence for God. And I think we need to get back to that. Back in the day, honor God was like a second nature. And we just didn't do it in word, but we did it in deed too. Honoring him. Honoring him at the table. Honoring him at home. Honoring him in front of everybody, not being ashamed of it. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 reads this. Now the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the God who alone is wise, be the honor and glory forever. Amen. Honor God. Can we just get back to honoring him? Revelation chapter 19, verse 1 reads like this. After these things, I heard a loud voice in the great multitude of heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Salvation, glory, and honor belongs to the Lord our God. It's crazy how the world throws things around of God. They treat them like trash. But it's even more crazy when you see it in church. Come on. You heard me just say that. It's even crazier when you see it in the church. I don't know about y'all, but there's certain things. I know the world is going to be the world, okay? I get that. That's what they're going to do. But as believers, sometimes we have to get to a point where we draw a line in the sand. You know, this past Christmas season, Netflix had a TV show depicting Jesus Christ as gay. Depicting our Lord and Savior as gay. And Mary, his mom, as a prostitute. I told my wife I'll never watch Netflix again. I don't care what they got on there. You got to draw the line somewhere. Yeah. When you going to say enough is enough? You know, Psalm 101, verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. The world is going to do what they're going to do. But it's one thing, I can deal with that. But when you sit up here and you mock my Lord and Savior who died on that cross for me, enough's enough. And that's what believers need to start doing, saying enough is enough. Draw the line in the sand. I'll never understand that. We run around, we say this, we trade like we want to be Christ-like, but yet everything we do reflects of what the world is doing. Why is that? Shouldn't the world want what we got? But why do we always want to do what they do? Think about it. I never understood this. And some of y'all may not agree with me, and that's fine. I never understood why we have Christian award shows. Why? Why do we have Christian award shows? Here you go. Here's an award for you being obedient to the song that God has placed on your heart. Come on! Why? Our reward is in heaven with God the Father. So you want some recognition from man so they can turn around and give you that award and mock you? The same people that give out the awards at the Grammys and American Music Awards, the same ones that give out the Dove Awards, they own the companies and stuff. Here's an award. You didn't tell me how bad my music was. Here you go. Yeah, well, thank you. What? I never understand that. But that's us trying to be like the world, where it should be like them coming to us. Who is this Lord and Savior y'all talking about? This Jesus. I want to know him. But no, it's backward. I will never understand that. I'm at the point that I'm really about to, we've been fasting from TV, me and my wife. I haven't missed it one bit. I have not missed it one bit. Sometimes I get tired of hearing about the rhetoric. I had this one dude say, hey man, you been watching Game of Thrones? I was like, no. Now I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I know who's on the throne. I don't need to watch that junk. I don't need to watch it. Can I be real with you? You hear some people watch Game of Thrones talk about the Lord of Light, right? That's what they're talking about, Lucifer. They're talking about Lucifer. Two, it ain't nothing but salt porn anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to watch some salt porn and be driving down the street, have that girl's image pop in my head, and then wonder why it's popping in my head. Or you got a woman driving down the street, that man have negative views, watching that TV show pop in your head. Then you wonder why. Oh, it happens to women too. It happens with women too. About a couple years ago, man, there was this woman who left her husband after 35 years of marriage because she read that demonically influenced book, 50 Shades of Grey. I've heard Christians be saying, man, there ain't nothing wrong with it. It's just fantasy. Yeah, it's just fantasy, but why are you coming to me talking about praying for your lust? If it's just fantasy, come on, man, can I be real about that? It baffles my mind. It really baffles my mind when I see that. I'm not saying put yourself in a box. It's kind of like what I said earlier. You got to draw a line in the sand. When are you going to say enough is enough? When are you going to say enough is enough? You know, God has built us like antennas. We receive. So you sit there binge watching something like that for hours and hours. You're receiving that. Something we need to start thinking about. And then wonder why you feel all funny the next day. Because the same demonic spirit that gave the director, producer, actor is trying to jump on you now. And then you got to come up here and get that stuff washed off. But anyway, for me as a, not even a minister or a pastor, just as a believer, I just don't get that. You know, I've never understood why we have to be like them. They should be wanting what we have. You know, they should say, hey, they got a standard there. And what is that standard? That standard is Jesus Christ. Amen. The next one is this one. If God be God, let us trust him. How many of us really trust God? Come on. Have struggled trusting God at one time or another. Come on. You can raise your hands. You be honest. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I have. I just got done sharing a testimony about that. I have. Struggling with God. Struggling to trust him. 2 Samuel 22:3 reads this. The God of my strength in whom I trust. The God of my strength in whom I trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. My refuge. My savior. I like what he says. The God of my strength in whom I trust. And like I said earlier, sometimes God allows you to get to the point where you have no point but to trust him. And it's either one or two things going on with that. He's either trying to stretch your faith. He's trying to stretch your faith. Or he's just trying to say, hey, man, look, you might be going through it, but no matter what you're going through, I'm still God here. I still got this. I think one of the biggest downfalls of the height of the prosperity message was this. All you hear was, oh, God's going to bless you. You got his grace. He's going to give you the goodness. But you never heard no ministers talking about, you're going to struggle. How many did you hear preach on Job during that time? They didn't preach on Job because they didn't want to mess with that bottom line. Oh, I can't preach on Job, boy. I'm going to end up with a couple $1,000 less than I did last Sunday. They never said anything. And that was the biggest problem with the prosperity message. Oh, never talking about that positive thinking, which if you really want to go back to what the root thing of positive thinking is, it's New Ageism, Hinduism. We got God's word. The Bible says renew your mind through the word of God. But that was the biggest thing. And I never understood it because you're talking about Paul. Paul was the most dynamic Christian preacher ever walked the face of the planet. And yet he still struggled. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten with many stripes. He was naked. But yet we have the audacity as believers think we ain't never going to struggle and trust in God. Please. But that's what the prosperity message did. And what happens is that when people during that prosperity message time, baby Christians get saved and they get taught that. And before you know it, when they start going through tests and trials, they would fall away because the preacher wasn't telling them, hey, by the way, you're going to struggle, but endure. By the way, you got to pick up your cross daily. But come on, you'll be all right because you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. They wasn't teaching them that. That's why we got so many backslidden Christians right now. Shame on them. You know, it's cliche. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good. But right now, I don't feel good. And that's okay. Because God knows me. But back then, if you didn't say it, something was wrong with you. Oh, brother, you didn't say that back to me. Come here, let me lay hands on you. What? It's okay. I tell people, hey, man, I'm going through it, but God is getting me through it. And trusting God is showing true faith in him. But during that time, you're seeing with all that junk that was sown in the prosperity message and everything, we're reaping it right now, especially pastors and ministers. That's why so many of them getting burnt out. Amen? Psalm 18, verse 2, it says this. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my shield, the horn of salvation, my stronghold. Amen? That's who our Lord Jesus Christ is. Check this out. If the Lord is your rock, then trust him. If the Lord is your fortress, trust him. If he's your deliverer, trust him. If he's your strength, then stop trying to do it in your own strength and trust him. Psalm 31:14 says this, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Can I tell you something about trust? Trust is not about a feeling either. You can still trust God and still feel all weird. That's okay. The Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate you from his love. So don't base your trust or everything that has to pertain to God on a feeling. Amen. Some days I don't feel like going to work, but I got to go to work because I got bills to pay. Shoot, why am I saying I don't feel like going to work today? God, I've asked you to bless me with this job, and I'm going to lose it because I don't feel like going to work. That's foolishness. But you praying for God for 3 years. Oh, I'm praying for a great job. Finally get one, then you don't want to go work, lose your job. That's foolishness. Man, another one I got here is this. If God be God, then why don't we allow him to deal with us? I know we're fasting and prayers are getting answered, but this is a great time for God to deal with us. I ask God every day, Lord, deal with me. Make me a better father. Make me a better husband. Make me a better grandfather. Where did I miss it yesterday? Where do I need you allow to fine tune me, Lord? Come on. Deal with me. And think about it. There are things that God has been trying to deal with us for years. Come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. God been trying to tell you for years. Let me deal with that jealousy you've been struggling with. Oh, man. You heard me just say that. God telling, come on, let me deal with that anger you've been struggling with. Or Lord, I said, let me deal with that gossip you've been struggling with since you got saved. Another one. Let me deal with that lust you've been struggling with. Let me deal with that lust you've been struggling with. Or the simple fact of why you still think it's okay to fornicate. And you've known me all these years. Oh, yeah, you heard me say it. Let me deal with your marriage. Oh, I'm believing God for a good marriage. I'm believing. Okay. God been trying to deal with you and stop cussing your spouse out. Won't you allow him to deal with that first? Oh, yeah, you heard me just say it. Deal with that first. My wife asked me a while back, it was weird talking about some things I was studying. And my wife said, how come you don't ever do a life group or preach or teach a lot on demonic spirits and witchcraft and paganism? And the reason why is this. What is knowing about demonic spirits and witchcraft and paganism going to do for you when God is trying to deal with your heart? It's okay to know about those things, but God might be trying to tell you that there's some things I want you to know about you. God, I know you're trying to deal with me. I know it. But I want to know what that little witch is doing in the dark room with a candle sitting on the pentagram. What's that going to do for you? What happened yesterday? It's not going to get me through the day. You know what I'm saying? That's not going to get me through my day. Knowing about that. Yes, God showed me that because there's certain things I need to know about that. But that's not going to get me through his word. The power of the Holy Spirit. When I'm being tempted. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There's no temptation what? Common to man. But God is what? Faithful. That's what's going to get me through the day. Yeah. Not worried about some little wizard over here praying for him. This is another one that sometimes I have I don't even say a hard time, but we always want a deep move or deep revelation from God. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. We always want a deep revelation or deep move from God, and God might be trying to say, why don't you allow me to move deep in you? Yeah, you heard me just say it. Me and this minister were talking, man. I have a lot of respect and admiration for this pastor. But he always telling, hey, man, you got to give him a revelation. You got to give him a revelation. I'm like, okay. I like revelation, too. But what happens is you get some Christians, all they want is revelation, revelation, revelation. They take their revelation, they become high-minded, thinking they know everything. But they never take the basic principles of the Word of God and apply them to their life. Okay, you got all that knowledge, but what about God said, stop lying. And then you start preaching and teaching on that. They don't like it. Because for the last 20 years, that's all they heard. Revelation and knowledge. But you tell them, hey, God said, treat your wife good. This is where it's at in Ephesians. Here you go. And they're like, where's the revelation? That is the revelation. That is the revelation. But me and this pastor had a disagreement on that. I told him, I said, I think it's better just to preach the basics of God's word. Lay a foundation down before you go deep like that. Because the revelation, you're going to have to go back to the foundation. Because the revelation is not always going to get you through. Right. This is what's happened too. I've seen this too. They said them same believers always want divine revelation. They've been sitting in the church for 20 years and they're the most immature person in the church. I didn't receive nothing today. When you come in this church, you should ask God, Lord, let me receive something. That Pastor Cain is preaching. Let me receive something. Let me not leave out of here, Lord, without something that you could do on my heart on.
Yes.
It's
kind of crazy. When you think about stuff like that as a believer, and then not only you think about it, but you see it going on in the church. So I always tell my wife, no matter where church we're at, no matter what's going on, I'm getting mine. Lord, deal with me. I walk them doors on Sunday. Deal with me. Deal with me. This is the last one. If God be God, let us fear him. Doesn't say in Proverbs chapter 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let us fear him. Fear God is mentioned 134 times in the New King James Version Bible. You think that's important? Fear God. I like what Solomon had to say in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth besides Jesus Christ. He summed up everything just in this verse alone. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is man's all. At the end of the day, that's what we're, as believers, what we're supposed to be doing. Fearing him and keeping his commandments. That's what we are created to do. Fear God and keep his commandments. Sometimes as believers or sometimes as Christians, we make it too complicated. Fear God and keep his commandment. Have reverence for him and do what he says. It's just that simple. Sometimes we make it too complex. Well, I got to have a nine-step program to get to the point where I can be obedient to God. Please, you be obedient right now. That's what we are created to do. Amen. I'm going to close with this. I told you to put a question mark at the if God be God. If God be God, shouldn't his vision, his will, his desires, his agenda, his holiness, his glory take priority in this church? I'm going to leave you with that question. Shouldn't it take priority? Sometimes we make it too complicated. I know some believers that can't praise God unless he do something dynamic in their life. Then they praise him. You need to praise God because he's God. Or you got some believers, man, I'm looking for a miracle. I'm looking for this miracle. God, I got to see it. Please, man. The miracle is you've had cancer for the last 3 years. You're still here. That's the miracle. Yeah. Praise God. Sometimes we make it too complicated. It's a miracle this past year. God is sustaining me through all this stuff. That is a miracle. As believers, we make it so complicated. I want to see that miracle. Or does God do something mighty? You know what was mighty? Him getting me up today. Yep. That was mighty. Sustaining me through this day in this wicked, perverse generation. That's a miracle. Sometimes I believe we need to stop looking for that and realize that sometimes you are the miracle. You've tarried on the earth this long for God's purpose and his will in your life. That's your miracle. Praise God for that. And if you can't praise God for that, praise him anyway because he deserves it. We got to stop waiting for God to do something miraculous in our life or a deep move from God to praise him. We got to stop doing that and just praise him anyway. How can we expect the world to praise him when we can't even just praise him just because he is God? Right. Amen. Oh, yeah, you heard me say it. But that's the question I'm going to leave you with tonight. Father God, we just thank you, Father God, for what you're doing and what you're going to continue to do. Father God, if you be God in our lives, let us always live for you. Let us embrace you. Let us trust you. Hallelujah, like we never had before in 2020. Father God, we know there's a lot of craziness going on in the world, but we know your mighty hand is upon this situation. Hallelujah. And we thank you. Father God, we continue to lift up our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Lift up our brothers who are having surgeries and things that need to be done in your body. Your hands upon the situation already, but Father God, I just pray for the wisdom for the doctors and everything goes the way it's supposed to go. Hallelujah. Thank you for the testimony, Father God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you bless everyone in this congregation for the rest of the week. Hallelujah. Continue to give us strength. Continue to give us wisdom, Father God. Divinely protect us. Hallelujah. As we go throughout the rest of this week. Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus, continue to give us divine appointments, Father God, with people who don't know you or people who just need to know that you love them. Hallelujah. We thank you for those. Hallelujah. And when they happen, you will give us the right words to say. We thank you. Continue to lift up Pastor Chris, his wife, as they're traveling, as they're ministering. Give Chris the boldness and power and the words to speak, Father God, which you place on his heart. And we thank thank you for that. Thank you for Pastor Chris, Father God. What a blessing he has been to this ministry. It is such an honor, Father God, to serve under this man. And thank you for bringing him to us. Hallelujah. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.